Blog Talk Radio.
Message is Sons of Belial, also known as the Luciferian Elite. 2 Corinthians 6:15 from the King James reads, "And what concord hath Christ with Belial, or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel?" You know, in this message, we'll explore the infidel, the sons of Belial, the mens of renown, naughty persons, and certain men. These are all terms used by the King James to describe what's known as the Luciferian elite. And you may be wondering, well, why should we do this? Well, because we are warned of them in the Bible. And they're at war with Jesus Christ and his word, the Holy Bible, and all that's good and godly. You know, King David even put a curse on them on his deathbed. Read 2 Samuel 23, verse 6 in the King James. So it's essential that all Christians understand who they are and how they operate. Now, last week we learned how they operate through this dark and sinister conspiracy, also known as the mystery of iniquity. And recapping last week, that's doing the right thing for the wrong reason. And what's the wrong reason? Well, again, remember from last week, anything we do, either good or bad, that advances our will, either in heaven or on earth, rather than affecting God's will here on earth for his glory. And to set the captives free, I may add. anything done for that reason is the wrong reason. Remember from last week, that's this subtle thing I call the duplicitous nature of the mystery of iniquity. It's two sides of the same coin we call the mystery of iniquity coin. That dark, sinister devil on the one side, Satan, and that brilliant, apparent do-gooder, the angel of light, also known as Lucifer, on the other, two M.O.s for the same villain. And don't forget what Paul gravely warned us of in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 14 and 15, where he said, "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed as an angel of light. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness." So Satan, also known as Lucifer, and his minion are incredibly wise, shrewd, and powerful. And, you know, just remember, as Lucifer, he's not opposed to religion or ordered government either. You know, everyone supposes that they could spot him a mile away because they think his religion is Satanism and his government is anarchy. But that's only Satan's side of this iniquity coin. On the other side, we have Lucifer's organized religions, seminaries, translation committees, and even the good old USA. Remember, it was organized religion and government that motivated Lucifer to begin with. He wanted to be worshipped like God, and he wanted to rule and reign. So Lucifer's desire in this realm is the control of religion, government, and even commerce. Remember, read Ezekiel chapter 28. Look at verse 18 in particular for the commerce. He wants it all. He wants to be like God. He wants to rule and reign, and he wants to be worshipped. And so he has what are known as princes of the world, and they kind of execute his will here on earth. You know, they're another term for sons of Belial, and you can see the princes of the world term used in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 6 and 8, again in the King James. And one of these chief princes is called Belial, and his spawn, or his offspring, are known as the sons of Belial. So last week we looked at the how. This is the con, the mystery of iniquity, played out in this thing I call the Matrix, by the double-faced villain, Satan, also known as Lucifer. And if you want to know more about this, the great con, the mystery of iniquity, listen to last week's message. And so this week we're going to look at his henchmen, the sons of Belial, also known as the Luciferian elite, and their attack on Jesus Christ and the Word of God, the Holy Bible. So what or who is Belial? Well, we're going to go to the Word of God in a minute and find out. Now, for these types of studies, what I call these deep dives, it's crucial that we use the King James or another text taken from the majority and received texts, also known as the traditional texts, as distinguished from the Western texts from Rome, known as the Sinaiticus or the Vaticanus, and those from Alexandria, Egypt. These are the recently found minority texts that are so popular today. Now, sadly, the modern translations of the Bible, ever so subtly inspired by Luciferian Madame Blavatsky, and yes, I have proof for all of this, have entirely wiped out terms like princes of the world and Belial. Boy, I wonder why that is. And they replace them with these specific, they replace these specific, proper, and very revealing terms, like princes of the world and sons of Belial, a proper title, with generic, very vague things, like rulers of the age and wicked men. You know, but listen on in this message, you're going to see their scam gets even worse. So why do they do it? Well, we learned the answer to this last week when we investigated the reason for this big drive now in modern biblical scholarship to wipe out the proper use of the term Lucifer from Isaiah 14:12. Remember, that's the key to understanding these advanced concepts like the mystery of iniquity and the sons of Belial, who are also known as the Luciferian elite. They're behind us all, and their attack on the deity and the lordship of Jesus Christ. Yes, the deity and the lordship of Jesus Christ. So like I said last week, we have to focus on something very sinister here, but there's a purpose. And it's this incredible conspiracy. Okay, this duplicitous nature, the mystery of iniquity. So we've established that Lucifer's ways and the ways of his ministers of righteousness, the magistrates in our government, the sons of Belial or the Luciferian elite, they always appear to be good and godly on the surface, but beware. And let's see in the Word of God what he has to say about these sons or children of Belial. In Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse 13, it reads, And again, in the King James, certain men and certain children of Belial are gone out among you and have withdrawn the inhabitants of their city, saying, let us go and serve other gods, which ye have not known. So the children of Belial serve other gods. Well, just who is this Belial? Well, according to the Dead Sea Scrolls, and sometimes you have to go into some of this other extra-biblical work to get definitions and to understand things. In two of the scrolls from the Dead Seas, one called the War of the Sons of Light and the Sons of Darkness, he was the uncontested ruler of the dark side. So this Belial is one of Satan's principal princes. And other writings from the Apocrypha, which the King James translators actually had a translation committee for, say that he was created next to Lucifer before the fall. So after the fall, he was given the kingship of 80 infernal legions. And in two of these works, he's called the Demon of Lawlessness. So that's a little background on this guy, Belial. And Milton, in his epic work, Paradise Lost, called him the false-titled Son of God. So he's the Prince of Pride, and he reigns in areas of education and academics. So keep that in mind. So Belial's received much attention. And let's just leave it that Belial is one of the fallen angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, as Jude put it in his short letter in verse 6. Then in verse 14, we see that Jude's aware of the Book of Enoch, which I must mention is still contained in the canon of the Ethiopian and Serbian churches. Now, Enoch tells us in his book, which we kind of had vanished because of some edicts out of Rome, but the Ethiopians and the Serbians never got the word, that 200 such angels as Belial left their first estate. And picking up the story now in Genesis chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, and I'm going to jump down to 4 after I just tell you that this was a time when men began to multiply, and the sons of God, that's these 200 angels, saw that the daughters of men were fair, and they took them as wives. Did you hear that? And then in verse 4 it reads, there were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God, these 200 angels, came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, and get this now, and they became mighty men, which were of old men of renown. These are the sons of Belial. And it's again mentioned in Proverbs chapter 6, verses 12 through 15, where they're referred to as naughty persons who walk with a froward mouth, that's a lying mouth. They wink their eyes. They speak with their feet. They teach with their fingers. These are all things that people in the secret societies do. Now get this, that term naughty, and we've made it such a cute term in this current culture, that's Strong's H1100, which is the word Belial, the very same word we read in Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse 13, and the very same people that King David put a curse upon because they worshipped other gods. Then Jude refers to them as certain men when he warns about them creeping into the churches and turning the grace of God into lasciviousness in verse 4. Now, why is all this important? Because as Christians, we have to be aware of our enemy, whose aim is to undermine the Lord Jesus Christ and his word, the Holy Bible. For just as their Lord, also known as Satan or Lucifer, appears as ministers of righteousness, so do they. Paul warned us about this, like I said, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 14 and 15. You know, they're transformed into ministers of righteousness, whose end shall also be according to their works. And Paul declares the following in chapter 6 of 2 Corinthians, verses 15 through 18. After he says, what concord has Christ with Belial? He that believes with an infidel? He goes on and he says, what agreement has the temple of God with idols? Remember, we're the temple of God. You know, he says that. And he says, I dwell, this is God, I dwell in them and walk with them, and I'll be their God, and they shall be my people. So he says, wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. It's pretty clear there, isn't it? And then John warns us about him in his first letter, chapter 2, verses 15 through 19. He says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away in the lust thereof, but he that does the will of the Father abides forever. Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard, that Antichrist shall come, even now. There are many Antichrists. These are the sons of Belial, whereby we know that it is the last time. And then get this right here. He says in verse 19, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest that they are not of us. So as I unpack this message, you're going to see what they did back in the 1850s, led by Westcott and Hort. They went out from us, but they were not of us. Keep that in mind, praise Jesus. Now, this spirit they have is the spirit of Antichrist. These certain men of Jude 4, the naughty persons of Proverbs 6:12, the men of renown of Genesis 6:4. And remember, now they've crept into our churches, unawares. But not only our churches, but our seminaries, the theology departments, the once godly universities like Harvard, Princeton, and Yale. And yes, they used to be godly. They were founded on the Word of God. And they're even sitting on our modern translation committees, voting on things. Can you believe that? They pose as ministers of Christ and stewards of the mystery of God, yet they are without the gift of saving faith. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, that such men, these are ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God, must first be found faithful. Yet they aren't, and I can show you that right from the Bible. We're going to look at four specific attacks that they've leveled directly on our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And like I said, this started back in the 1850s with Westcott and Hort in the Revised Standard Version. The sons of Belial, who worshipped other gods, first leveled these very same attacks on the Lord Jesus Christ in the early days of the church when they altered the New Testament manuscripts. And their apostate, adulterated documents, as we'll see a little bit later, were outed by the early church fathers as apostate documents. And then nearly 1,800 years later, these liberal theologians, Westcott and Hort, members of the Luciferian elite, and I do have all that proof too, sitting here in my office, from their own very letters, resurrected these apostate documents and introduced them into our modern translations. I have their very letters sitting here in my office that prove this. And this action by Westcott and Hort was a direct violation of the charter they were given by the Church of England that commissioned them to modernize. All they were supposed to do was take the King James Bible and modernize the English. They were specifically instructed not to add to or remove from these scriptures as delivered to us by the King James translators in 1611. But that's what they did. And since that day, every single modern translation has followed this apostate spirit, the spirit of pride, governed by Belial himself. So here's how they attack the Lord Jesus Christ. First, they deny that Jesus is the Christ. Yes, they do. It's pretty sad. In John chapter 20, verse 31, it reads, "And these have been written, that ye may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye may have life in his name." So we believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, that we may have life through his name. That's why this point's so important. And then he reinforces it again in his first letter, chapter 2, verse 22, where he writes, "Who is the liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son." Now, I'm going to go through some scriptures here, and I want you to listen to the subtle twist on these verses, which were originally written to clearly proclaim these truths that Jesus is the Christ. And this was, again, intended to reinforce our belief that Jesus is the Christ. Remember what he said in John 20, 31, "And that believing ye may have life in his name." So first I'll read from an English translation taken from the Received or Majority Text, the traditional text that came out of the Church of Antioch, and it'll either be the King James or the Young's literal translation. And by the way, this isn't some King James-only message. This is all about the truth. This is a grave warning that the modern translations are using apostate manuscripts. And by the way, that's what the early church fathers called them, not me. And then next, after I read it out of the Received or traditional text from the Church of Antioch, then I'm going to show you how the modern scholars have decided to render the verse, if they've decided even at all. Now, in this in this little study I'm going to walk through, I'm going to read from the modern translation known as the English Standard Version, or the ESV, which has been touted, and I'm going to read from their own words from their webpage, and you can see this over at www.esv.org, and they say, this is an assembly, an essential literal Bible translation that combines word-for-word accuracy with literary excellence, beauty, and depth of meaning, built on trusted principles and trusted legacy. And now all popular modern translations have the same issue. You'll see the same thing in the NIV, the NLT, the NASB, the NRSV, and don't even get me started on the Message. Now, that's not that message. Oh man, that's not even a Bible. That's one man's paraphrase. And remember what the scriptures say. They're not subject to any man's private interpretation. Yet the churches today are teaching out of the Message. Like I said, don't get me started on that. So let's remember, their first attack is that they deny that Jesus is the Christ. Now listen to these subtle twists. First, out of the traditional text, Acts chapter 9, verse 20. And immediately in the synagogues, he was preaching the Christ. And that's Jesus, is the Son of God. Okay? Now over in Acts 9:20 in the ESV, it just simply reads, he proclaimed Jesus. No mention of preaching the Christ as the Son of God. You know that Jesus is Christ, the Son of God. And over in Acts 15:11, from the traditional text again, the Lord Jesus. But through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we believe to be saved, even also they. And then again, in the ESV, it reads, through the grace of the Lord Jesus. Again, no mention of Christ. But I thought we, through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, believed to be saved. And you see it again over in Acts 16:31. The received text reads, the Lord Jesus Christ. The ESV says, the Lord Jesus. Where's Christ at? Aren't we supposed to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? You see it again over in Philippians 4:13, where it says, for all things I have strength in Christ strengthening me. And again in the ESV, it just says, through him who strengthens me. Well, who's him? You know, this denial of Jesus Christ occurs again and again and again in the ESV and all the other modern translations in numerous verses. And there's a whole big long list of them, and if you want to see it, just email me. All told, I found 17 such verses in the ESV whose translation committee used modern textual criticism and what's called the minority apostate manuscript that denied Jesus is the Christ. Who is the liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? When challenged on this, scholars always say, well, this manuscript was older. And I'm going to ask you this, who says older is better? I'll tell you who. The sons of Belial and the Luciferian elite. And I'll show you why that's not true a little bit later in the message. And then they go on and they deny that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God, the eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Now, I took that from the Apostles' Creed of Nicaea from 325, and that essentially sums up quite a few verses. But the point here is illustrated over in 1 John 2:23, where he says, whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. He that acknowledges the Son hath also the Father. So the same spirit of Antichrist that denies this was in the crowd that sought to kill Jesus Christ. Why? Because over in John 5:18, it explains it all. And it says there that because of this, then the Jews seeking more to kill him, because not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he also called himself God when he referred to God as his Father, making himself equal with God. This is when he said, before Abraham was, I am. Now listen to these verses, and you're going to see that they were intended to clearly proclaim that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God, and again reinforce our belief that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh, like John 5:18 so rightly declares, and we also see in Timothy. You know, so Matthew 24:36, it refers to accept my Father only, but in the ESV it just says the Father. Well, don't you think Jesus would say, my Father and not the Father? Really, come on. Come on. And then over in Luke 9:34, in the received text, it reads, and a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my son, the beloved. And in these modern translations like the ESV, it says, this is my son, my chosen. Listen to him. There's a big difference between chosen one and beloved. And then it goes on. In John 1:18, it says in the received text, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he did declare him. And look how this ESV and other modern translations say it. They say, no one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side. He has made him known. No mention of Son and no mention of begotten. That's what distinguishes Jesus from all other sons of God, the fact that he is begotten, not made, one in being with the Father. And these apostate sons of Belial want to deny that. They want to deny that. And you can see it in other numerous verses, and if you want to see it, let me know. All told, I found 14 verses in the ESV that use this modern textual criticism and the apostate minority manuscripts that deny that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. Remember John's warning, whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. He that acknowledges the Son hath the Father also. So these sons of Belial, the Luciferian elite, deny Jesus is the Christ and that he's the only begotten Son of God. And then they go on and they deny that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. 2 John 1:7 says, for many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Now listen to these verses, which clearly were written to proclaim that Jesus came in the flesh and reinforce our belief that Jesus came in the flesh. 1 John chapter 4, verse 3 from the received text out of the church of Antioch reads, and every spirit that doth not confess Jesus Christ in the flesh, having come of God, is not. And this is that of the Antichrist, which ye heard that it doth come. And now in the world it is already. Now this sounds a little disjointed because the Young's literal translation takes the actual Greek from the church in Antioch and just puts it down. But the point there is Jesus Christ in the flesh having come. Now look how the modern ESV reads it. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not of God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and is now in the world. Did you hear that? The ESV admits that Christ, Jesus Christ, came in the flesh. Oh, that's an abomination. And then in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, the King James reads, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on the world, and received up into glory. Now look how the ESV translates that same verse. Great indeed, we confess, is the mystery of godliness. He was manifest in the flesh. Well, who's he? Remember, for many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is the deceiver and an antichrist. Praise Jesus. These are the sons of Belial, the Luciferian elite, who deny that Jesus is the Christ, the only begotten Son of God, who came in the flesh. And finally, these wicked men, sons of Belial, and I'm going to run out of time, so catch the finish part of this message in the archives. These sons of Belial, so filled with the spirit of Antichrist, that they deny these crucial truths of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They deny that Jesus Christ is Lord. Jude told us that he was Lord in verse 4. And he warned us that these men, these certain men, would creep in unaware, denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. And then 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 also warns us, even denying the Lord that brought them. Wow. And Paul tells us that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3. Now listen to the omission of this key word Lord in the following verses. It's an abomination. It's over in Luke chapter 23, verse 42. The traditional texts read, remember me, Lord, when thou mayest come in thy reign. And the modern ESV reads, and he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. No mention of Lord. And this same thing happens again over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 47. The majority texts the traditional texts out of the Church of Antioch read, the first man is out of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord out of heaven, praise Jesus. And these modern versions read, the first man is from the earth, a man of dust. The second man is from heaven. No mention of Lord again. And this happens again in 2 Corinthians 14:10, where at all times denying the Lord Jesus is mentioned. But it's really crazy here. They omit 2 Corinthians 14:10 from the ESV. They remove the scripture entirely. It's taken out. Look it up in your Bible. See if it's there. This happens. And I have a list of all the verses that have been taken out. Yes, the modern versions have taken verses out of the Bible. 2 John chapter 1, verse 3 reads, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. But in the modern translations it reads, and from Jesus Christ. No mention of his lordship. It occurs again in 2 Timothy 4:1. You know, Paul tells us that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Praise Jesus. You know, there's another twist to this whole thing. And I want to look at the Lord's Prayer and compare it from the King James, translated from the Received and Majority text, to the way the Lord's Prayer is translated from the Minority text in the ESV. In Luke chapter 11, verses 2 through 4, okay, the King James reads, and this is after the disciples asked Jesus how to pray. And Jesus said, when ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so on earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive one another that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now here's how it reads in the modern translations. Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation. Did you catch those little subtle things? Oh, wow. It reads in the modern translation, Father, but not our Father, which art in heaven. And the modern translations read, Your kingdom come, but not thy will be done, as in earth, so in heaven. And then it finishes, eliminating the whole phrase, delivering us from evil. Really? Well, here's the truth. The modern translations aren't just making an old Bible read better with updated English. That's not their purpose. But that's what most people believe. The truth is modern translations are using other source documents that the church rejected over 1,800 years ago. And they, the modern translators, filled with the spirit of Belial, the Luciferian elite, are saying, no, we know better. And we're rejecting these documents, faithfully translated for 1,800 years. The modern translations are choosing heretical manuscripts over. And you know what? These manuscripts were found on trash heaps and in garbage cans in monasteries. That's what's happening. It just tears me up. You know, in Luke 11, with the Lord's Prayer, it's really sick because these modern translations threw away the traditional prayer as faithfully delivered once and for all unto the saints by the church in Antioch for a corrupted manuscript written by a heretic named Marcion, a well-known heretic, denounced by all the early church fathers. He was a dualist. He denied the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was called the firstborn of Satan by Polycarp, a godly early church father. Is this amazing? And by the way, when he called him the firstborn of Satan, that's another way of saying the Luciferian elite. So why are all these modern translations using these minority readings in scriptures? Well, that's because they have this methodology they call modern textual criticism, which decides which scripture is better in this modern translation. And get this, their number one criteria is older is better. So these older manuscripts, they attack the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're discarded early in the church age. And they were called apostate by the early church. And then I'll get this. This is really crazy. This science of modern textual criticism, it was developed by Theosophist Westcott and Hort in the 1850s. And they absolutely love Madame Blavatsky and the Theosophical Society, and they embrace many heretical doctrines like Marcion did. And in this methodology of Bible translation called modern textual criticism, which adopted the scientific approach to work, it eliminated any consideration of faith once and for all delivered unto the saints. That's what Jude told us. You know, contend earnestly for the faith once and for all delivered unto the saints. And that's what I'm doing with this message. And you know what really gets interesting is this all came to us. This all came to us at the same time the world was introduced to Karl Marx in politics. The scientific world met Charles Darwin, and the economic world was introduced to the Rothschilds, really scheming fiat money system and printing presses. Now, did you ever wonder why these minority manuscripts were older? Well, they were older because they weren't used and they didn't wear out. Or they were found in trash dumps outside of Alexandria, Egypt, where it was very dry, because they were told to be thrown out. And they were dug up in the 1800s by archaeologists. And by the way, Alexandria, Egypt was a hotbed of heresy in the early church, as was what's known as the Western Church, also known as Rome, where the Vaticanus and the Sinaiticus, the two favorite ones of Westcott and Hort, were also found. And by the way, the NIV just loves the Alexandrian doctrine document. This is just so crazy. If you read at the end of Acts 18 and look at the beginning of Acts 19, you'll see that Priscilla and Aquila had to set Apollo straight on certain things because he came from the Church of Alexandria. Now, that didn't make him a bad guy, but they were getting the information wrong down there in Alexandria. Now, so get this, older isn't always better for these Luciferian elite, only when it promotes their agenda. So they're finding very old documents now, like the Mandolina document, and it's confirming the received text. So what do then? They just throw it out. And usually when they find these things, they're just little worn out, like little chips. And that's because they were used over and over and over again until they had to be recopied. And these are the documents that were used to translate the major English documents, English Bibles like Wycliffe and Geneva and King James and Bishops and Tyndale and Young's. And they just ignore it when the ancient manuscripts support these traditional Bibles. So how does a modern textual scholar, according to Paul, who's supposed to be a mystery, a steward of the mystery of God, and found faithful, continue to support this theory that's just contrived by godless theosophists like Westcott and Hort? Well, how they do it? They can't support it anyway, factually or historically. You know? And they want us to believe that the Church of Jesus Christ lost the true New Testament text for over 1,800 years until these two apostate liberal theologians named Westcott and Hort rediscovered it, and then united with theosophist Madame Blavatsky and other New Agers to give it back to the Church? Well, come on. That's nothing short of an idea right from the pits of hell. You know, and then they pass this off as modern translations, and the body of Christ is so gullible, they receive it, and they say, well, this is just easier to read. It's the same thing. It's not. It's not the same manuscript. And then what would you expect from Sons of Belial? And you know what? Bible-believing, Holy Spirit-led Christians interested in the truth and the providence of the Word of God have known these truths from the beginning of time, yet you're labeled crazy. Oh, you're a King James onlyer. No, that's not true. That's not true. The historical facts and the faith once and for all delivered unto the saints lead us to this same conclusion. The truth, and I hate to say this because I am an academic. I came out of the world of science. The truth is that in the realm of scholarship, it's riddled with apostasy and unbelief and the spirit of pride. I'm telling you that. People in those positions hate the notion of the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ and a Holy Spirit-filled, empowered believer exercising victory over sin. And how do I know that? Because I used to be one of them. I'm telling you from experience. So these Proverbs 6 naughty persons, they lie and they embrace any absurd variation they could find in any manner possible to call it new and improved. You know, I'll show you another one. Just go after this message and read Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Look at it in the King James. Then look at it in the NIV 1984 version. And then look at it in the NIV 2011 version. that ought to open your eyes. And I'm not alone in expressing these concerns. Early church father in A.D. 175 by the name of Gaius wrote, speaking on the source of corruptions that survive in the earliest manuscripts. He's talking about the ones that Westcott and Hort used 1,600 years later. The divine scriptures these heretics have audaciously corrupted, laying violent hands upon them under pretense of corrupting them. He's talking about people like Marcion and the writers of the Alexandria, the Vaticanus, and the Sinaiticus manuscripts. And then Eusebius quoted Clement of Alexandria in his book titled Ecclesiastic History, and he said the worst corruptions to which the New Testament has ever been subjected originated within 100 years after it was composed. So all this stuff happened between 50 and 200 A.D., and there's a couple God-fearing scholars, voices in the wilderness today, who are warning of the same thing. One is named Colwell, and he said the first two centuries witnessed the creation of large numbers of variations known to scholars today in the manuscripts of the New Testament, and most variations, I believe, were made deliberately. And G.D. Kilpatrick says the same thing, and he says that most of these deliberate changes were made between the period of 50 to 200 A.D. by apostates of the church. Yet, like I said, these men are voices crying out in the wilderness. And this deeply saddens me. You know that the Church of Jesus Christ is allowing this to happen today. Are we that dull? Are our spirits so dead we can't recognize the voice of our one true shepherd, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, we were warned. I read scriptures that warned us of this. And I'm running out of time here, so I have to wrap this up. I got so much more I want to say on this. You know, my only reason for doing this, too, is to contend earnestly for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. I don't want to cause division in the body, but I want to let you know that scriptures, read Romans 8:1 from the King James and compare it to the NIV. There is a way to have victory over sin. How much more so a life in the resurrection? Yet they have taken these things out. These sons of Belial have taken these out because they don't want empowered, Holy Spirit-filled believers that can have victory over sin. You know, Jesus warned us, a good tree cannot bring forth fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that brings forth not good fruit is cut down and cast into the fire. And you shall know them by their fruits. And then he goes on to warn us about, you know, the do-gooders that aren't going to get into heaven. And he warns us about building on a solid rock, that's Jesus Christ. And then it finishes in verse 28 and 29. And it says, and it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught as one having authority, not as the scribes. Well, praise Jesus. And then I love this one thing out of Mark 14, verse 56. It says, for many false witnesses bear against him, but their witness agreed not together. And you won't find agreement between all these different ones. So there you have it. And I had to cut a lot out of this. The sons of Belial, also known as the Luciferian elite, they're alive today. And they're still manifesting as ministers of righteousness in our churches, universities, and on our translation committees. But now you know the truth. And by that truth, you may be set free. Remember, Jesus Christ is our cornerstone, our Lord, the only begotten Son of God, his Father. And Jesus Christ, he came in the flesh. He is Jehovah Elohim. He's Lord over all. He is Lord over all. I love you all. Now go out. Stand in this truth against the sons of Belial and the Luciferian elite. Praise Jesus.